on. Well, the audience is a little late there, but thank you, audience. Well played, well played. Welcome to the second episode of Fantasy Dynamite Podcast, Three Ballers on Ball Boy Talk, where we are covering our 12-team Dynasty Fantasy Basketball League with our fellow bandits. Joining me today is the captain, team leader of Team Poppin' with Tebow, Cody. Cody, how are you today?
Very glad to be on. Very glad to be talking some basketball.
Yeah,
waited
well, it was the first time
far
in,
too many
what,
months
since COVID
for it
that
to start.
Had
so
a regular
very stoked.
Off-season. Which is crazy. It did. It's been nice so far.
Yep.
I think it's...
And I think it definitely delivered.
It was a great offseason. There was a lot of offseason movement, a lot of storylines, a lot of the same stuff, but different players. Today, on the podcast, we're going to be talking about our league week 2 recap. We're going to be talking some recent NBA news, some NBA injuries, and how they may be affecting our teams or other teams in our league. A couple wild stats, and then we're going to go through our league roster reactions like we did last week, and then we're going to be ending with our free agent and trade target that we may be eyeing right now in the league. So, Cody, are you ready to jump in? All right, let's do it. Starting off
absolutely,
with our week
always.
2 league recaps, you suffered a crushing loss last week in week 2 to team no you didn't, sorry, I'm too far ahead of myself. Our league leaders in points were team Mitch Mann, who scored 283, Cody, your team with 270.5, and the Puzini dynasty at 270 were last week's leaders. I actually suffered a crushing loss to you last week in week 2. I lost to you 270 to 256. The final score looks a little bit closer than it actually was. I had a terrible week from most of my roster. It was really hard to pick and choose some games. Then from there, the Puzini Dynasty beat that blue guy 270 to 234. Magic Claw, I believe that was our closest matchup on the week points-wise outside of ours. Mitchman 95 beat Giddy's Bandits 282 to 242. So,
yeah,
significant loss there. To Infinity Wembeyond, probably one of my favorite names in the league, beat Classic Stripe 256.5 to 210. And then Pavlov and Popovich beat All Balls No Bite, probably my second favorite team name in the league, 254 to 194.5. So, that was our quick recap brought to you by no one because we have no sponsors. But that's okay. Not yet. Someone will pick us up. Anything to say from your team from
not
last
yet.
Week? Any shout outs you want to give on your team? Anyone that stood out? Anyone that's just been crushing it for you, making their lock-in decisions even more difficult?
Always got to shout out my first overall pick for making it easy. For always, and it seems like it's not going to stop. I'm always gonna
yes,
get a 45 piece from Jokic.
LaMelo.
So that makes
no,
life a
I
little
picked,
easier.
I was between LaMelo, Paulo, and yeah, LaMelo, Paulo, and Chet were my top three.
LaMelo
picks.
Had a huge game last week.
I'm really happy with all three of them. They've all looked really good. I keep getting crazy offers for Chet. I'm not ready to part with them. He has the potential to explode on any night for 45, like he did last week in our matchup, which brought me back a little bit closer. The only player I'm struggling with and trying to figure out, because I think that team is still trying to figure out how much of the role they're going to give him, is Tyrese Maxey. He put up 33 earlier this week, but last night he put up 41 fantasy points, and I had already locked in the 33. Because I thought, okay,
yep.
That's as good as it's going to get. So he's only getting better. He's only getting more comfortable in that role. Which, of course, that's a perfect segue into the NBA news. Because we're going to be starting off with talking about the James Harden trade. Because we're finally seeing it trickle down. James Harden gets some playing time. And whomever I'm playing this week, I'm playing Lord Sage. And his team is carried, and I mean carried, by the Clippers. He has Paul George, James Harden, Russell Westbrook. So he has three of their big four there. And it's carried. So, are you ready to get into some NBA news? All right, let's get into it.
Absolutely.
So the James Harden trade, of course, gets the drum joke sound bit because James Harden has been an absolute joke the last 4 years. Going from Houston to Brooklyn to the Sixers to now to the Clippers. 4 years, 14, basically. And hopefully this is finally his last stop before teams are just like, we're done with you. We don't care how much talent you bring. But they also have a really bad problem with the Clippers now. So the trade overall, the Sixers got the expiring contracts of Marcus Morris, Robert Covington, Nicholas Batum, and Kenyon Martin Jr. All on one-year deals, all in the last year of their contracts. All of them got traded as part of this deal. They got two future firsts, one first-round pick swap, and two second-round picks. I don't know the exact years for any of those, but that's what they got. Good on the Clippers to move that salary because they probably had to afford Harden and to make this deal work. But the Sixers got some good pieces there. You know, Marcus Morris, Covington, Nicholas Batum, Kenyon Martin Jr., all those guys can be worked into different roles off their bench. And so it's really quality depth behind Embiid and Maxey and those guys in their starting five. I don't think they've released anyone. I'm pretty sure Covington has been playing already and getting some most playing time out of all those guys.
Yeah, Covington is definitely my favorite part of that trade for the Sixers. Really solid pickup for them.
Be part of this deal. Like, it came as a surprise to him. Him and P.J. Tucker, who ended up going to the Clippers. And then Philip Pestru, who was actually waived by the Clippers. So they ended up keeping him, but he was picked up by the Kings. And so the Kings are trying to work him into the rotation. I believe they assigned him to the G League after claiming him off waivers. So that's the Harden trade. Any reaction to this trade, Cody? Who won? Who lost? Was it worth it for the Clippers to make this move?
I think the Sixers, just fresh off of what I saw this week, definitely won the trade. It opens up a lot more for Maxey to get going. And it just seems like the team, just like the environment around it, like they're just winning now. And that's all they can focus on because they got rid of that locker room cancer. And so now they can just fixate on moving forward because everyone wants to cut them out of the East because it's either Milwaukee really or Boston who has
and
it. But
I think the Clippers have
the Sixers
really
have been on a run now. So
to solve, they have four guys. When you add up their career usage averages is over 100% between Harden, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, and Russell Westbrook when healthy, their career averages, I believe it's like 108% usage between those four. They're not 108% part of a game. These guys are all getting a little older. They're all past 10 years in the league. So none of them are young bucks anymore. They're all in their 30s. The couple of things that this does do for the Clippers, it does allow them to take some of that load off Paul George and Kawhi Leonard on a nightly basis, to play them a few less minutes, to put more of the load on Russ and Harden to be on the floor, to save some of their minutes, save them on back-to-backs a little bit. So 25, 25, 25, 25 out. Use their bench. It's up to Ty Lue. He has to figure out how to rotate these guys in and out to keep them fresh and keep them healthy. But I don't love it on a court aspect because I don't think it's going to work. Put all four of those guys on the court. You're going a super small lineup. You essentially have Russ at the one, Harden at the two, Kawhi and Paul George flipping, flopping at the 3-4. And then you have, I think, Zubac, I believe, at the five. So it's...
Yep. Yep.
Well, they also picked up...
My biggest thing, then you leave out Terrence Mann.
NBA standard contract as well, which we don't have to get too far into that. I think I have him later in the doc here. But...
That's my biggest thing in the trade is Terrence Mann, who's been stupendous for them, now has to take a back seat to pretty much everything in that organization. I mean, you could just tell when James Harden entered the locker room for the first time, Terrence Mann had zero interest in what was going on.
Guess what plays are going to be called when you're on the floor? Whoever's left out of those four, that's who the ball is going to go to. There's always going to, as long as they all can figure out how to stay healthy and keep themselves healthy for 82, they'll make the playoffs. it's going to be hard to stop that team from winning a lot of games and winning enough games to get in and to stay relevant.
Yeah, I think the most interesting time for the Clippers is going to be playoff time when everyone, because they're going to try and keep everyone healthy, because the last 3-4 years, historically, that's what's happened. Someone's got injured. They go into the playoffs missing Paul George. They go into the playoffs missing Leonard. So I think they're going to try to squeak in this year by keeping everyone healthy, win just enough games to get in, and then come to the playoffs with everyone at full health to figure it out then.
As you guys know,
so that'll be interesting to see.
He got traded to the Milwaukee Bucks from his longtime home of the Portland Trail Blazers. Since the trade, the Bucks have ranked 25th this season in terms of team defense. That was as of 11-6. And Dame, as of 11-6, is playing the worst defense of his career. He's ranked right now as the 333rd best defender in the NBA, according to individual defensive rating, as of 11-6. I posted that on the Sleeper page just for everyone to see, and I just thought that was crazy. Because I thought Dame was one of the few superstars left that actually played defense, but I guess working on a new team where you're not everything for everybody, you tend to take a backseat because you know Giannis can cover half the floor in two steps. So, of course, from there, we have the in-season tournament, which we saw more games of last night on 11-10. We have more games scheduled for 11-11. And I believe through this whole weekend, there's in-tourney season games. The Thunder ended up losing their second game of the in-season tournament, but they have been getting high praise. The Kings look really good. That trade, the Sabonis and the Tyrese Halliburton trade, is obviously going to go down in NBA history as one of the best win-win trades ever, because now both teams have a top-tier offense and top-tier defense overall. So, without De'Aaron Fox, Malik Monk stepped up and played.
And they've been doing that without De'Aaron Fox, too.
In that position, really filled that hole. And he's missed 5 straight games now. So, and then, of course, Curry and Tatum, they were last week's players of the week.
Trust me, I know.
Curry early through the first few games of the season here. He's on pace to win another MVP award, and he would be the oldest MVP at 36 years old ever. So LeBron has even won one at this stage of his past this stage of his career. Beyond that, just some NBA news. The NBA is looking into a 2-day draft starting in 2024, kind of taking the route, you know, the NFL, MLB, all those platforms all take advantage of having a longer extended draft as they could. 2025, the All-Star game was awarded to Golden State. And in 2025, even possibly this year, Adam Silver has been saying, this needs to be a real game. You guys actually need to compete. Maybe we'll move it back to East versus West format. There's been a lot of call to kind of go back to how things were before the All-Star draft and mumbo-jumbo, things like that. But there is a cap on per league players, so only so many players from the East and so many players from the West can represent to make it even. Steve Kerr said that this will be his last Olympics coaching the USA men's team in 2024. The Heat hired Udonis Haslam as their VP of basketball development. Jameer Nelson received a promotion. He's been named the general manager of the Delaware Bluecoats, the Sixers G League affiliate. And lastly, the last bit of NBA news before we jump over to the injuries is the NBAPA has formally announced Iguodala. So Andre Iguodala was appointed as the acting executive director. That was confirmed in a press release. So that's the NBA news. Anything else that you've heard from the ground? Any news?
Nothing at all. I just want to say I absolutely love the midseason tournament. I love the courts just because I'm a big color guy. But also, like, from a fantasy perspective, I absolutely love it because it's just more incentive for these primetime games for guys to go out and put out a big game.
That these games matter. They kept these teams engaged enough to where, like, hey, like, these games matter for something. Like, I don't feel like anyone really knows what they matter for, but they matter.
Well, I think from what I heard last night, a couple people talking, the half $1 million that you get for winning it.
Over into the injuries now.
Pretty good incentive.
We're going to jump down there because there's some injuries that the second one we're going to talk about here is a little bit near and dear to you. So we're going to start Trailblazers big man Robert Williams, he's going to undergo season-ending right knee surgery. He should be good to go for the 24-25 season. In Robert Williams' healthiest season, 2021-2022, Williams nearly averaged a double-double, averaging 10 points per game, 9.6 rebounds to go along with 2.2 blocks per night on 73.6 field goal percentage in that season. So, Williams, next year, he's kind of a target in Dynasty League. Give me 1 second. Go ahead and jump into that Devin Booker injury.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Would love to. It's early on in the season. Beal missed the first couple of games and made his debut this week. And that was pretty clunky. Booker being out, I think with that lineup, it's pretty similar to what LA is doing with theirs. And just trying to keep everyone healthy during the regular season. As a Suns fan, you want to get excited about Suns basketball and you want to see that big three all together. So I'm just waiting to see that. And you just got to kind of be patient, bide your time until all these pieces can come together.
Which now has sent DeAndre Ayton over to Portland. The dude's been, he's been balling. He has been absolutely balling out there, which has been really positive to see.
Yeah, which I mean, absolutely love that. It was just, that's one thing that I never really understood is I know that him and Monty Williams had their disagreements. But Ayton was already out the door. I love Monty as a coach, obviously coach of the year, 2 years ago. But Ayton was already out the door. He was on the trading block, so I didn't really understand the firing of Monty Williams. But over in Portland, obviously where Ayton is going to be kind of the focal point of a pretty young team. Yeah, he's absolutely been killing it. Whereas if he would have stayed in Phoenix, you got three scorers, and you have a fourth guy who can still be a big man, but also wants to be a scorer as opposed to Josef Nurkic, who has done a beautiful job of just his tenacity, his ability to move the ball. He kind of like a not to even compare him to Jokic, but the way that he kind of moves the ball as a big is really fun to watch.
They brought him in, they told him, hey, this is what you're going to do. You're going to get boards, you're going to move the ball, and you're just going to be part of this team. You're the last option, unless you have to be a 1-2-3 option, but you're the last option on the floor at all times. He gets his, of course.
And he still gets his too, like throughout everything, just by like getting those boards good. Really and everything. Good. Like he's averaging, I think, course, like 13-2 like right now.
The health early in the season is okay. He could return either Sunday or Wednesday this coming week, which is disappointing. Because when I think it was it you or someone else that said, how much longer am I going to have to wait to see the Suns at full health? Because who knows at this point. Other news, Nets wing Cameron Johnson is available for Friday's game. He's actually out. No, he's not out. They have another Cam that's out. So Cameron Johnson, he was available Friday. I'm unsure if he played.
He played on Friday and mild minutes, good showing. I got him. He was right in my IR for a while. Yes. And he has a soft spot in my heart with Mikal Bridges, as they were both former Suns and pretty young guys.
I'm glad he was able
so
to play.
That's why
back
I picked him up.
Celtics big man Al Horford.
And he looked pretty sharp coming in on Friday.
He hasn't played both ends of a back-to-back. I doubt he will actually play in back-to-backs until they really, really need him, or unless there's a KP injury. But Kristaps Porzingis, he has been absolutely balling to start the year, and he said he's playing in the back-to-back this week. So that's a great sign. I love that. Love seeing KP healthy enough early in the season saying, oh yeah, I'll play him back-to-back, no problem. Getting out there, I think he's really enjoying playing in Boston with those guys. King Star De'Aaron Fox, he missed his sixth straight contest yesterday with the ankle sprain. Ankle sprains are tricky, especially for NBA guys when you have to run, jump, and a guy like De'Aaron Fox, who is massively explosive, has to have that ankle right. To land, to go off, that's huge for him.
Yeah.
Magic Go ahead.
I hope that Sacramento definitely just rides what they've been doing, and they give him his time to fully recover from that because ankles are very touchy.
They need him.
So give him this time.
65 to 82 more. So. Magic wing Gary Harris missed his third consecutive game due to a right groin strain on Thursday. Markel Fultz returned from his left knee ailment that cost him three games, and he was right back into the starting lineup. Markel Fultz, probably one of the biggest draft busts in the last 10, 15 years, just has never lived up to the potential, never really got the opportunity, didn't do much with it. That's kind of the Markel Fultz story. Pelicans wing, Trey Murphy. And if you guys are just casual basketball fans, don't know what wings are normally your 2-3 players. So your guards, your small forwards, guys who play out on the wings, out on the perimeter and things like that. Trey Murphy, he's recovering from his meniscus surgery on his left knee. According to a beat writer, Gilroy, Murphy has been running prior to games, playing one-on-one against coaches, and is making great progress. But he's still at least a few weeks away. That's the quote from returning to action. So definitely someone, if you're in a dynasty league and you have the availability to go and see if this guy's out there, someone you may want to just take a peek at, see if you can go pick him up, throw him on the back of your bench, throw him onto your IR spot, drop someone, pick someone else back up if you are tired of someone. After undergoing an MRI on Thursday last week on his right ankle, Tyler Hero was diagnosed. So Heat guard Tyler Hero was diagnosed with a grade 2 sprain. He's going to be out. He's going to be in a walking boot actually for about the next 10 days. And he's going to be reevaluated in 2 weeks. So if you have Tyler Hero, you're really going to want to pay attention to some of the guys we're going to bring up here later in the doc. A left ankle sprain for Nets guard Cam Thomas has him on the shelf for 2 weeks. See, I got the camera. According to Shams, he's going to be sidelined for at least 2 weeks. Mason Plumlee, another depth piece for the Clippers. They're optimistic he'll be able to return sometime before the end of the season, but no guarantee. They're actually looking at, I saw rumors related to this, that the Clippers are looking at the backup big man in Indy behind Turner. Can't think of his name right now. But the backup big man behind Turner. But they haven't made a move yet. Probably because they don't know how to rotate these guys still yet. And then our last piece of injury news, Hornets guard Terry Rozier doesn't have a timetable to come back from his left adductor strain that he suffered last Saturday night, so about a week ago. He hasn't said anything yet, but this is good. This was a good injury, at least for my team, because I have Brandon Miller. And so since this injury, Brandon Miller has got an opportunity in the starting lineup and has been very efficient, efficient with it. And Gordon Hayward's gotten more opportunity, more usage. He's looked really good with it. LaMelo starting to put things together with all these pieces on the court around him. He's a smart player, probably the best ball brother out of the three. And I'll die on that hill that he's obviously the most talented, most refined, was the most NBA ready mentally to handle the NBA.
Got to give a shout out though for Lonzo, so because injuries. Man, that is just a real bummer to go through injury wise for him.
So are you ready for our wild stat of the week before we jump into roster reaction? All right, our wild stat of the week.
Absolutely.
Chet Holmgren. This was as 11-7. Chet Holmgren is leading the NBA in catch and shoot efficiency field goal percentage at 92.9%. And no, I'm not listening to offers on Chet Holmgren. I was offered two really good bigs and multiple draft picks for Holmgren that I have not accepted. I don't think I'll be accepting a trade for Chet Holmgren.
Okay. Real quick on that. So the most ridiculous trade, do you think it was, more ridiculous trades than the one that I offered you?
Take all three of them for, I mean, this trade, pretty much, this trade was,
take your entire trade block?
Because you can obviously look it up, but I mean, we can talk about each other. I'm going to decline this trade right now because I'm not going to move them. But pretty much for Chet Holmgren, I was offered Kristaps Porzingis, Xavier Tillman, a 2024 first, a 2025 third, and a 2026 third. I'm not gonna do that. I just declined it while we're on air here. So as soon as I post the link, he'll be like, well, finally. But again, that's kind of the level where people are looking at Chet Holmgren right now, I would assume, in most Dynasty League. Everyone wants Chet. He looks really good. I cannot.
A lot of upside.
He's an anchor. Would not get rid of him. And LaMelo. I have top draft picks from the last three drafts right there. So very happy long-term Dynasty output. The rest of the efficiency percentage, really interesting who round out the top 10. Dennis Schroeder's number two. Curry's number three. Old man Alec Burks with the Pistons, number four. Bruce Brown, number five. Grayson Allen, Dorian Finney-Smith. So your boy Grayson Allen there in Phoenix. Dorian Finney-Smith with the Nets. Tyler Hero, well, he'll probably fall out. Grant Williams and Kawhi Leonard are all rounding out the top 10 of the catch-and-shoot efficiency. So very interesting to when you look at that, who's getting the ball, who can make those catch-and-shoots no problem. But let's...
I do have to give a big shout-out to who I'm playing this week for keeping Grayson Allen on their bench when he popped off for, what was it, nine threes?
He's probably
earlier in the week.
The conversation for
that was a real blessing. Thank you so much.
So, I would say he's in the conversation for sixth man of the year. So, let's get into our weekly recap. Let's do some reactions. Let's do some emoji reactions to the deals and the moves that went down this week. I'm going to go back to when I posted last week the first episode of the podcast for everyone to listen. The first move came from now we can officially move on. The first move, we talked a lot after the podcast dropped. We got some good conversation going. The first move was actually you picked up Drew Eubanks. How's that been working out for you?
I just picked him up just in case. Jokic, love the man, but is still getting up there in age, and how they're using him, and just absolutely, again, very fun to watch, but man, they are really banging like that guy away.
I like that. I'm
so
the
just picked up Eubanks as kind of a safekeeper on the bench.
For you, makes sense. Chris Middleton was put on the trade block. I don't think anyone wants Chris Middleton right now at all. Because he just doesn't look like himself. He looks like a shell of what he was. He hasn't figured out how to play as a number three option now. He's so used to being that number two guy in Milwaukee next to Giannis, and he's just not that guy no more. I'm going to give that. Have you?
I have actually been fishing for Middleton just in case, you know, God forbid Lillard goes down. And he has to come back in on that role. I know early in the season, Middleton's still kind of coming back from an injury. But I do like Middleton as just kind of
and
like a bench option, a guy that I can toss
here,
in later in the season.
By Sleeper. So we do our fantasy league on Sleeper. Sleeper app's probably the best fantasy app out there for all your fantasy needs. Again, not a sponsor. Lord Sage got crowned the best manager. He was 97% accurate. And I think he still lost. Worst manager was D. Comadre. He was only 82% accurate. So everyone in the league so far has been pretty accurate with their start sits. We're averaging between 82 and 97% accurate. So good job, like, just to our league in general. Highest score, obviously, was Mitchman. Our lowest score was Coach BM23. Captain of all balls, no bike. And then Classic Stripe was the worst manager award. First move here, I had picked up Goga Bitadze, whatever. I dropped Dario Saric. Give myself a thumbs up for that move. But didn't really work out. I ended up picking up also Nick Richards for De'Aaron Sharp. I like those moves. Your thoughts on the Goga Bitadze? And for Dario Saric, would you have done that?
I mean, they're all pretty expensive as bench players. It's just kind of like whatever you feel is going to help aid your fantasy team. Because, and it's also dependent on the team that they play for and injuries.
Yeah.
rotation and stuff like that.
He looked good this week.
So I feel like they're pretty dispensable.
Versus Dario, who is averaging about... Oh, well, he's also averaging about 14 points. But he also got a starting nod in place of Draymond. Didn't do a ton with it. Only put up he only put up 16 fantasy points. So he's better off the bench in that Golden State offense. But again, I did drop him. I did also then drop Goga as well, because I picked up Guy Santos. So Guy Santos got signed to a 3-year deal, assigned to the Santa Cruz Warriors. I really liked his stuff. I looked up some of his stuff. I looked up his highlights. I really, really liked kind of where he was at. The Euro ball tape. I think the dude's really talented. Summer League, he looked really good. In the Summer League opener, he put up 19 points, 5 boards, 3 assists in 30 minutes. He was a second-round pick. He played exclusively in the G League as a rookie. He's a 6'8 forward, which I feel the Warriors are really trying to evaluate their options to see, do we have someone that can replace Klay, pretty much? Like, how can we replace Klay in this rotation next year?
Well, their entire organization, I mean, all of their guys, too, they're getting up there in age. So you're Moody, looking at a fresh Minga. New crop of guys that they're trying to put on the bench.
I picked him up.
That can move the franchise forward. So yeah,
exactly.
And I mean, you get the added benefit of learning behind some of the best shooters of all time.
Moody and Jonathan Kuminga are actually the only two draft picks left for the Warriors in the last 5 or 6 years. All the other guys are gone. They're not even with the organization anymore, which is crazy. Battle Cole, he picked up Alec Burks. I really like that move. I think even though he's put up 0 fantasy points this week, when he gets the opportunity, he'll get the opportunity. He's been out with a forearm injury. Then the jury, he actually...
Everyone in Detroit has been banged up. And how they're using people in Detroit is unbeknownst to me. Yeah. It's insane how Detroit is running their lineup. Jordan Ivey has now taken like the third role.
They have the guys to play.
He gets like 20 minutes a game.
Ivey,
so
I think Thompson, their other draft pick. Yeah.
Well, you want to run the Ivey Cunningham, but every time Cunningham comes on the court, they put Ivey on the bench and they're giving Ivey, and apparently it's an attitude problem with Jordan Ivey. Nobody in the organization is a big fan of him. Yeah. But, I mean, the kid's only like 20, 21 years old.
He's a baller. He's a baller. Absolutely.
And
baller.
I loved him out of Purdue. I remember watching him in Purdue. He was,
so then Goga,
I mean,
got re-picked up after I had redropped him. I was hoping to re-pick him up, but I couldn't figure out the settings to get Guy Santos onto my taxi squad. So Goga got reclaimed, which is fine. The jury also then picked up Reggie Jackson, which I think was probably the best move of the week, because Reggie Jackson has an extended opportunity right now to play alongside Jokic with Murray out right now. And then Lord Sage, he's out for a month at least. Lord Sage
Murray's out for a month.
Aldama,
yeah.
Which was a really good pickup early in the week. If he would have played him against Miami, he put up 20 fantasy points. He has been battling an ankle injury, which has limited him a little bit. Lord Sage also picked up Jalen Smith, Indy's power forward, who looked, he's had some really streaky games. He put up 13 against San Antonio, then he put up 26 against Utah this week. And then he has back-to-back this weekend. Last week, he averaged about 12 fantasy points. So he's getting opportunity. He looks really good. He's averaging about 17 minutes a game, 15 fantasy points in those 17 minutes. So he's making the most of his opportunity when he's on the court. Looks really good. I'm going to give that one a fire emoji because he ended up dropping Sasha, then Zykov, which he just hasn't gotten opportunity. He's a former EuroLeague MVP, but they just haven't used him. They just have not used him at all, and now he's been relegated to the bench because Keegan Murray is back. So Venzikov, he's going to end up back on the bench in that rotation, fighting for minutes again. Timmy picked up CeeDee Osman. I don't know why. He's been really consistent, very consistent to start the season. But again, he's getting about 19 minutes a night, averaging about 9 fantasy points a night, 8 points, 2.5 rebounds, 2 assists almost, a steal, a block, 2 turnovers. So, no, I don't see the minutes going up. I don't see him going.
But I also don't see that, like, the minutes going up
really
at all.
Great
so.
Bench and a lot of young guys that they need to work in to that rotation. And Pop will figure it out. Pop's always figure it out. So, but with Popovich, you never know. You never know with him.
Yeah. It's just whatever works. I mean, the man's been doing it for 20 years, 20 plus years, so.
You dropped Kevin Porter, which, yes, makes sense. There's nowhere you can put him. Dude, so he's been so wrong. He's been so wrong because the accusations were false.
Yep.
Now he's just getting dogged by NBA team, super talented. That dude's gone up for 50 a night before.
It is unfortunate, but you know, just from the league takes it as the league. So you know, I don't see that guy getting signed by a team. So
hopefully he stays healthy
until maybe like a playoff push.
Then you ended up putting Jared Vanderbilt on the trade block, which, I mean. I'm going to give that the poop emoji because no one wants Jared Vanderbilt. Unless, have you been getting traction for him? Has anyone offered you anything for him? No. Okay. Expected. He hasn't been getting anything. He's been a bench option there in LA. Deep bench. He's like 12th in the rotation, it seems. Yeah. But then you also made a ton of other roster moves. You ended up picking up Colby
Young.
Just
contemplating just dropping him.
Rookie out of Xavier. He's averaging about six fantasy points in 12 minutes.
Yep.
Right there. I like that move. That was a solid. I didn't know you had so much room on your bench. Taxi.
And I threw.
Yeah. And then you also picked
him up and I threw
Alvarado.
Him on the, what's it, the taxi? Yep.
So he's been out. He's been out with an injury. He actually hasn't.
He just holds a sweet spot in my heart.
So I'm assuming he's just on your IR right now. But when he comes back, maybe something. I'm going to give that the watching eyes emoji.
Yep.
Caleb Martin, you also picked up. Guard, Miami, he's also out. I commented that you filled up your IR with these moves. So I'm going to also give that one the watching
eye. Yeah, I made a lot of moves on Wednesday, just filling up some roles.
And for some reason, in my head when I saw this, I'm like, is that Hassan Whiteside? I was lost. Yep, first year
I was actually
forward,
shocked that I saw
Duke,
Whitehead still
yet.
Out there and available.
He's in the G League right now. He's on the Nets G League team where he's working out, getting some extended minutes, trying to get right, trying to get healthy. So that's a good move out of Duke. Then Pooch, he picked up Bismack Biyombo. He dropped Jordan Goodwin. Biyombo's been getting opportunity. He's been starting. Guy I really looked out. He's been starting in place of Xavier Tillman. But with his play,
back,
so
I don't know how much
good.
Biyombo
I mean,
is gonna
he's averaging 21 and a half
be in there for
fantasy point in 30 minutes this year, 11 points almost, 10.7 points, 12 rebounds, 4 assists, a steal, and 3 blocks, and 1.5 turnovers per game. Like he is playing really well in year 12 here, looking really good in that role in Memphis. Memphis, you know, they're true. And then Jordan Goodwin,
oh,
again,
absolutely.
Another
but
guy that's
Tillman
on that
comes
Suns
back,
bench,
he's going to have
really
to take a
back
seat.
He's also injured. He's been averaging about 11 fantasy points a game. He's getting about 17 minutes per game, putting up about 7 points, 3.8 rebounds, 3.2 assists, 1.3 steals, 1.5 blocks, 1.5 turnovers. So he's kind of been all over the floor for him coming off the bench. But again, he works in relief, and he's had, honestly, a mediocre start to his season. He's hit just about 31.7% of his shots from the field, which includes 32.1% from beyond the arc, which isn't bad.
I will say, fantasy-wise, if you have anyone on the Suns bench, probably the biggest gamble of the fantasy year. You're hoping that a guy goes off,
that's one thing
or
I really like about
one of the
is that you
big
can kind of see the matchups coming
down.
Up. Like, he has a matchup, like Goodwin, for example. He has a matchup against OKC. OKC's awful. Giddey has not been playing good defense. He put on a little bit of muscle. He's looking a lot stronger. But again, hopefully that isn't sacrificing him.
Yeah.
But they're 21st against the point guard position, 27th overall defensively. They're 5th against the pace that the Suns play. So they're not great defensively right now. They're really trying to figure out their defensive identity. They can score all day. They can score. They can ball all day. But they can't play the defense, hence why they got beat by the Kings. So that's all of our reactions. Now we finally get to our last segment. We're going to talk about a few guys who at least I'm looking at possibly swinging some trades for, because I'm interested. I'm liking what I'm seeing so far. So we're going to transition to that, and then we'll close out the show here so we don't go too long. The first guy I have right here, I'm looking at Scottie Barnes of the Raptors. Probably one of my trade targets. I believe he's not available in our league. Going to check real quick. I would assume he's probably not available. Barnes, you don't have him, do you? Scottie Barnes, he's owned by Mitchman 95. He's been playing really good ball. I mean, he just had a 41 point game. He's averaging right now 33.38 fantasy points. He's getting 36 minutes tonight, 21.5 points, 10 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals, 2.5 steals, 2.5 blocks, 3.3 turnovers. Like, dude is it. He is legit. He's looked great. I don't even know what it would cost to get him. But definitely someone I'm keeping my eye on. If he had a downtick in production, but his shooting line right now, he's shooting 51%, 42% from three. So 51% from the field, 42% from three, and 75% from the line. Like, that's going to be hard to pry away from a manager. Next guy here, Kelly Oubre. Kelly Oubre, since he's came into the starting lineup for the Sixers, they've been winning. Now, I'm not saying correlation is causation here, but he's been looking really good. He's owned by AB Pack in our league, so he's owned. He's averaging about 17 fantasy points, getting about 30 minutes a night. So, again, a guy you can look at, probably you could trade for compared to Scottie Barnes. Do you have anyone on here before I get to some of these deeper guys?
It's funny that you brought AB Pack up. Big shout out to him, because I don't know if I've ever sent so many trades to the same person. It's actually insane. Like, looking at it right now, the trades that we've sent to each other.
He's very active. He's very active.
Just keep going and going.
He's into the league. He's loving it. He's having a good time. He's fun to send trades back and forth with. I think I've actually done a couple trades with him. We actually had no trades in the league this week. First couple weeks, we had quite a few to talk about, but this week we haven't had any, so everyone's kind of...
I know you covered it last week, but man, I can't tell you how stoked I am to nail that Bradley Beal trade.
Yeah, the top...
I gave up my first round next year just because I didn't like anyone coming in.
Maybe I didn't. I think I put a poll up with the podcast. But the top of the draft, I don't love, personally. Maybe it's too early. Draft boards haven't changed around enough, but... Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I have bias for Beal.
Yeah.
But I feel like for what I gave up...
Benedict Mathurin.
I liked it.
1-2-3 kind of combo player. Second year out of Arizona. He's been balling. He's only been getting better with more opportunity. This week so far, week 3, 11-27 and 31.5. He's just been on an upward trajectory. He started the season slow. 8 points, 5 points, last 7. Game 8 points against Chicago, 5 points against Boston, 12 against Cleveland, 13 against Charlotte, 11 against San Antonio, spiked up to 27 against Utah, 31.5 against Milwaukee. Again, we talked about Milwaukee's just not the best defensive team. But he's been looking really good. Like, against in that Utah game, he put up 22 points on 50% shooting, 9 boards, 4 assists, 2 steals in 38 minutes. Even Rick Carlisle came on and said this is the best game of his career yet. So definitely someone, and he was also an all-rookie first-team player last year. Next guy here, Julian Strother. He's a... Who's he played for? I didn't put the team he played for. Okay, Strother, he plays for Denver. So he's a wing player for Denver. Obviously a bench player. He's owned by D. Commodore. He's averaging about 7 fantasy points a game, about 11 minutes per game, 8.2 points, 1.4 boards, an assist, a steal, 2 blocks is kind of what he's averaging. When he did get the role, a little bit of an extended role last Monday, or earlier in the week, he put up 21.2 boards and assists in 19 minutes. So if he's getting the opportunity, which he probably should, given that he's a rookie point guard out of Gonzaga, if Reggie Jackson ends up being Reggie Jackson and slowing down a little bit, or they need to rest him, then I would assume that Strother's going to get some look. He's going to get a lot of looks. And he's coming off the bench right now, right next to Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, who takes on some more of that floor general. So he was a first-round pick this year out of Gonzaga. So someone definitely to watch and to just keep their eyes on. Next, this is a guy that I've actually tried to trade for. I've tried to trade for Hawks forward Jalen Johnson. I've not been able to get him. I really want to, but Pooch, he does not want to give him up. He's looked only better and better as the season continues. Third-year player out of Duke, averaging about 21 fantasy points a night on 30 minutes of playing time, which is solid. It's kind of where you want to be at, because you know there's a floor beyond those potential. Pelicans wing Matt Ryan, not the old quarterback, Matt Ryan. He's actually available in our league. I guarantee by the time I publish this podcast, he won't be available anymore. He's been pretty inconsistent, averaging about 8.5 fantasy points in 22 minutes. But
yeah,
he's coming off the bench. He's getting about, 22 to 25 minutes a night coming off the bench, which is exactly kind of where you want to be at. He's averaging about six attempts from beyond the arc. He's converting at about 41%, so that's a pretty good clip. So if he was to come in and get some more playing time, he's a third-year player at a Chattanooga college, maybe there's something there. Maybe there's something there for the Pels coming off the bench. And then Drew Eubanks was another player kind of in this conversation who John Hollinger, a writer for The Athletic, these are three of the players that he named are emerging from obscurity. And then lastly, the last guy I have here is center Mitchell Robinson, who's averaging a career best 12.4 boards. So that even Tibbs, Tom Thibodeau, his coach, for him, it's not just offense. He's added that rebounding game in to his just everyday game, and he's been a monster on the board. I'm sorry. My dogs are loud. He's been a monster off. He's been a monster there. But there's so many rumors right now that the Knicks are going to try to trade for Embiid before the deadline this year. So we'll see if that comes to fruition. I don't know. But again, no, I don't think they're going to go.
There's just no way Embiid is getting out of
Philadelphia. Is there anyone else that you have here that you're targeting via trade? Free agency that you have your eyes on that you just haven't been able to pull the trigger yet with?
My biggest juggle right now with my team, I absolutely love my team. I think they're pretty solid, but
get rid of or trade for
Jimmy Butler. I mean, get rid of. I just want him to. I don't know. It's earlier in the season, and I know how the Heat work or how they worked last year and the year prior. They struggle as a regular season team. They squeak in, and then all of a sudden, there comes Jimmy B. But I love to watch him as a player. He's one of my favorite NBA players, absolutely. But from a fantasy perspective,
he's a tier
sitting
one
here,
kind
and he's supposed
guy.
To be tossing up. But we got 19-8. Yeah. And it's just not.
Yeah.
It's interesting having Jimmy Butler on your fantasy team. He's probably my lowest out of every one of my starting lineup. My one of my lowest scorers
to kind of put out offers because the name value is there. The name value is there, so I'd be interested if you were to throw him up on the block, what you would get for him. But I probably would not trade for him.
And then I do have to thank you so
yeah,
much.
I was over that
for giving me my boy,
Austin
Reeves.
I didn't see it there for him. I didn't see what everyone was seeing. I did not see the draft capital. I needed to make some moves. I needed to shake things up. Very happy with kind of the guys I was able to shake up and get, because it opened up some playing time.
I did. Austin Reeves was definitely one of my favorite players in L.A. And the second you put him on the trade, I was like, all right, let's
capitalize on that value.
I'm a sucker for it. I love Austin Reeves.
Killian Hayes into my lineup. It opened up me getting Derek Lively into my lineup, Lonnie Walker, Malcolm Brogdon. I was able to move up Jamie Jaquez off my practice squad, which I'm really happy about because his opportunity is just growing.
Nice.
Allowed me to pick up Moses Moody, get some of these guys. I had Jalen Williams coming back from injury. So some of these guys I'm looking at right now, if I was to sacrifice anyone on my team, I probably would drop Richards. I'm really close to dropping Kuminga and Moody. I'm close. I just can't with Kuminga.
Really?
I am too, which I need to hold on
I'm definitely big on Kuminga for the future, which if you don't mind, I was going to ask you a question as kind of like the commissioner. How do you kind
my
of view your lineup? Like, how do you go in week
everything.
To week? How do you build your
obviously,
lineup?
I know my guys I'm going to start. I'm going to start Melo. I'm going to start Maxi. I'm going to put Porter. I'm going to put Chet. Obviously, beginning of the week, I'm going to play my best. So I'm going to put my best guys in there beginning of the week. So Melo, Maxi, Hayes has been one of my best right now. Porter, Michael Porter Jr., Bankero, Chet, Siakam. Those guys I know I'm going to put in there. I'm going to try to get big games out of them. Of course, I'm going to look at their matchups. Like right now, I don't love Siakam's matchups, but he's been playing well. He's been bouncing back. Next week, he has four games, so I know I have four opportunities next week to get a big game. I'm probably targeting either the Washington or the Milwaukee game for Siakam because against his position overall, I see Washington's ranked 30th and Milwaukee's 21st. But then they play Boston and Detroit. So I'm most likely going to get the best game of the week against Washington or Milwaukee. Milwaukee's could also then turn up the defense on him because they just played him on the first where he put up 25.5 fantasy points. So kind of looking at trends, looking at their matchups. You really got to play your matchups. You can't be afraid to just set it and forget it and then lock it in. You have to be willing to move your guys. Like if you had, like right now, my team, I'm pretty sure I had like Brogdon. He only has two games this week, right? His first game was awful, but he got hurt. He left the game. But he was in my lineup, so I had to move him.
Yeah.
But I had to move, like, Lonnie Walker in. Lonnie Walker, you know, with the injuries, he's going to get a little bit more playing time. He's been playing a little bit better. He's going to come off the bench. He plays Washington coming up. That's not the best matchup for shooting guard, but it's a really strong matchup for threes and overall. So I think Lonnie Walker could probably have a better game than Brogdon. So I'm going to move him up. I'm going to take Brogdon out. So now I just have to wait before I lock it in. I really look for 30-plus point games. 30-plus point games are kind of the baseline unless I'm just stuck. Those are the games I'm going to lock in with our lock-in feature. Of course, we only can lock in one game per player per week. When I know I'm going to lock a guy in, if he was in my utility spot, I'm going to move him out of my utility and up into his positional spot because I'm still going to be able to lock him. It's not like when you move a guy from the bench into your lineup after the game, you can't lock that game in. So I'm going to move him into a position spot, lock that position, keep open my guard spots, keep open my utility spot, so then I can move whoever in that I need to move in.
Nice. Okay, so follow-up question here. So this is my first year doing kind of like a Dynasty NBA league. I've done a couple Dynasty NFL leagues. How do you build your team? Do you build it for the now and try to win now? Or do you try to build for the future? Because I've seen a couple, like I've looked at everyone's rosters and stuff like that. I was just interested to see like how you go into like the draft and like the trades you've been making. Do you want to like obviously you want to target younger players who are going to score now,
Yeah.
like
So looking
idealistically,
at my team,
but
like my
how
top
have you
picks,
gone into it
Melo,
thus far?
Vancaro, Holmgren, Siakam, very telling of kind of where my strategy was. Like I'm gonna get the youngest guys with the highest upside that I know are ballers. Maxey was an absolute steal. Michael Porter Jr., a guy I really believed in, building on last year, and they've been pushing him in Denver, saying, "Look, you did it. Did it once, go do it again. You did it twice, go do it a third time. Keep being great because you are great." So I really built for a little bit for both. Obviously, the strategy for dynasty startups, at least in fantasy football, is win now. Like I traded picks, like I went after and got Travis Kelce before the season started. Currently, I'm sitting in sixth place in my dynasty league, or no, I'm in fifth place. But I've gone out and I traded Trevor Lawrence for Justin Fields. I traded, and now I have Dak Prescott as my quarterback. I had to trade again. I traded Kyler Murray to get, Travis Kelce. Because even though I knew Murray was coming back, I needed to win the tight end position. So I've gone out, make these trades. Some of my trades have been very aggressive. I haven't quite made any aggressive trades yet, just because I'm trying to really build out a roster that I like. Like obviously I don't want to move Kuminga. I really like my bench, my taxi, Amone Bates. I loved him in the preseason. I loved him in summer league. Grady Dick, I really like the opportunity he gets. Plus with him on my team, I can say my team has Dick. Grady Dick, so play on words there. And Guy Santos also on my taxi squad. So I built for balance, and I built to have pieces that I could trade away to get someone bigger. But I think that's a great conversation to go for next episode. Kind of where, what kind of strategy, what kind of strategies are we using for team building? Because there's a lot of strategy you can use. But personally, I built for now and then, hence like Kuminga. I knew he probably wouldn't get an opportunity, but if Draymond gets hurt and misses time, extended time, Kuminga's in, he's gonna ball. Yeah, if Wiggins misses time, if
Right away in
Thompson misses
the
time,
first couple
if
games that Golden
CP3
State
misses
had,
time, Moody's
he's
in
in
there.
there.
Yeah,
Oh,
Wiggins
he's
is.
oh. Get rid of Wiggins.
Yeah,
I'm
I
so
saw that he
glad.
was
I'm so
available, and
glad
I'm
I
like,
got.
no thanks. No one wants Wiggins. But yeah, how about for you? Where are you at with building your team? Where what kind of strategy do you take coming into it? Obviously you have a really veteran heavy team. Like your team is very
So
vet heavy.
just.
Beal, Ingram, Holiday,
Well,
James,
I
Butler,
mean, I
Reeves,
have
Jokic.
Ingram, Reeves, Avicii, Ayton, De'Aaron Fox, Tyon Jones. I do have some younger players, but I do rely on Jokic, LeBron, Westbrook, some players like that. I try to toe the line. Because it's a new league, so it is nice to try and go out and win the first year. But I tried to toe the line with that. Jimmy Butler is still younger. But my biggest thing was if you look at it and if you look at the scoring and everything, my biggest thing, I try to target guys who can throughout the week get at least 25. They can put up a 25
Yeah,
because
100%.
that's
100%. No, and
if
like
all of you
your
guys hit
team, like looking at
25, you're
it is a
probably going to
little bit
win.
older. Every lot of guys over 30. Beal, 30. Yep, Ingram, 26. Holiday,
Yep,
33.
Jrue
LeBron,
Holiday, LeBron,
18.
Jimmy.
Butler, 34. Reeves, 25. He's a young spot on your team. Jokic, obviously, league MVP, should be the four-time MVP. Avida, that's a really good. That's a guy
he's 28 still, which is insane.
I really like him. I think he's a stat sheet stuffer. Definitely can have that baseline of 2025. Westbrook, I don't know what Westbrook is anymore. Yeah, he was.
I saw him so late, and that's why I picked him up. I was like, he's still gonna do it because he's gonna be the starting point guard. Like, what do you? You know what I mean?
I don't know with Lowry. Yeah, I mean,
that was super late.
17-year vet.
That was super late.
I don't know. Of course, you have De'Aaron Fox, nice and young. Trey Jones, who they need to give him. They need to get him in.
I love
him in more.
They have San Antonio has that 6'8" point guard that they're trying to push. I can't remember his name. Yep.
Suffers because of that.
So then I also traded Jones, DeAndre Hunter, sometimes,
which was part of that comes off the bench.
But
I wasn't a huge DeAndre Hunter.
So you still have.
Overall, looking at it, you have some pieces. Obviously, when Cam Johnson comes back, he's going to get that playing time.
Waiting on him.
He was balling before the injury.
But that's the biggest thing in like a dynasty league. Like, where do you want to build? Do you want to start strong and then, like, come year two or three?
You want to keep playing to make
all of a
playoffs,
sudden, you're like, oh, obviously. Okay, now
like,
I have
you
to
keep playing. Like, we have 12 teams
restructure.
So, obviously, our playoff.
Which is another big thing. The more teams that you get, or the more guys that you get in the league.
No, I think we're going to keep it at 12.
It kind of leaves, like, a disparage.
And that's
so,
when
you kind of want to, like,
league,
get in there.
12 is kind of like, you look at the top 12 point guards, top 12 this, top 12 this. Right now we're both in the playoffs. You actually have the first round bye.
Yeah.
In week 18. So, you know, the goal is to make the playoffs. Our top 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. The top 6 make the playoffs. And so I think you want to stay in the flames for the first few years. Like year one, obviously fight for the playoffs, push for the playoffs. Start looking early because you're going to want to look at guys like the classic stripe team, that blue guy, Lord Sage, who started 0-2, who are probably feeling, not to pick on them because I know they're going to listen, but in your home dynasty leagues, for all the additional listeners we have, because crazy viewership, obviously, target those guys early in the season who go to 0-2, 0-3, maybe 1-3, 1-4 over the first four or five weeks. Week 6, you'll probably start to see some roster fatigue set in.
Also, got to give a big shout out to Classic Stripe because he has the most points against. It's sitting 0-2 right now, probably 0-3. That's rough. 500, as we're talking now, 536 against. He has the most points against in the league. He's
so,
just
of course, that's
getting
shelled to look at as well
right
because
out the gates.
I mean, those guys are the guys you want to look at. Those are not the easy targets, but the guys that you're like, and I'm not calling any of you gents easy targets because I know you guys are all going to listen to this. Hopefully they get some podcast fatigue. Well, maybe not because we had a good last segment. But a guy like Classic Stripe, like he has the number one waiver. That blue guy has the number two waiver priority right now. Like those guys could get aggressive and make a couple moves for some guys, and if their trajectory continues, like if they fall to 0-5, 0-6, 1-5, 1-8, whatever, they're gonna be the guys with those top draft picks. With however they evaluate the rookie class coming in, like they could be, oh well, I'm 1-8. We're in week 10. Playoffs start in 8 weeks. Like I'm gonna have a top 3 pick. Like, the top 3 picks are not pretty. They're not great unless they change between now and week 10. But they're going to be like, well, what could I get? Could I go get Brandon Ingram? Could I go get Chet? Could I go get Giddy? Could I go get, you know... Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, there's going
to
be guys
Ingram
that are on our
needs
team
to
that
start
we're
going
to be, you know, a little bit
sometime this
with,
year.
Where it's like, oh, I've had this dude all year. He hasn't done anything. He's averaging, like, 23 points a game. Like... whatever, like, Oh, but you want to offer me a high draft pick in the 2024 rookie draft? Like, I'm in a good position. I'm week 10. I'm 7-3. I'm number 3 in the playoffs. If I give up Brandon Ingram, it's not going to kill me. I can go pick up so-and-so off waivers. I've had my eye on for a week now. You know, like, that's kind of the approach that some of these lower teams can make. Anyone that stays 500, if you're staying 500, you're staying, you know, 2-0 between 500.
Yeah.
Staying in that top six. Like, stay in that top six, stay in the Flames. 100% stay in the Flames. Don't give up, because your team can swing at any moment. It's the ebbs and flow of basketball. It's going to be really interesting to see what happens post-play-in tournament with how teams evaluate their guys, how minutes come and play in, because now you're going to have to start playing for the playoffs and looking deeper into the, yeah, for especially some of your older guys.
That's probably when you'll see minute restrictions.
Especially.
Some guys.
Like, I'm not worried about with my team. Like, my guys are going to play. They're going to get that playing time.
I know.
Chet's only going to get more playing time as the season goes on. Especially if the Thunder somehow end up being, like, a play-in team. Those play-in teams that are there toward week 12 through 14 of our season, that know, shoot, we're fighting for the play-in. Like, we're trying to get out of the play-in and into the playoffs and knock other teams out. Those are guys, there's so many elements to it as the season goes on. We'll explore all those because they all impact our dynasty teams and kind of the moves we're going to make. But Cody, thanks for joining me, man. I really appreciate it. I'm sure the bandits are going to appreciate it. Appreciate everyone listening, whether you're new, whether you're old, whether you're in the league, whether you're not. Thanks for listening. Thanks for giving us a chance. That was our second episode of Dynasty Down Under, Blue Baller. So we hope you guys all have a safe week. We'll chat with you, and I'll be back with you, maybe with Cody, maybe with someone else, next Saturday. We'll get you again.
Loved being here. Always love talking basketball.